Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by someone really special. I can't wait for you to meet this wonderful lady. I'm joined by Ty Johnson Anderson, and she is the master manifester and psychic medium behind Rebel Goddess Society and Manifesting Everyday Miracles. She helps you grab a life by the ovaries and make shift happen, all without hours of visualization and gallons of green juice, which I absolutely love. Welcome, Ty.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. I met you earlier this year, and it was just a real pleasure to meet someone who is so down to earth and so magic at the same time. So thank you for the work that you do in the world.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. I really do just show up, right? And show up in my fullness. And that's all I can do, right?
Absolutely. And yet there are so many people who find that difficult. Just as a kind of starter, I guess, I've been asking everyone this. What is adulting, or what does being an adult mean for you?
Really, adulting for me is living my best life, which may not look like others, right? Growing up, there was a lot of me trying to fit in to others' notions of what I should be. I wasn't black enough. I was too skinny. I was too this. It was always just not enough or too much of something, right? And I never really fit in anywhere. And so I started, you know, blazing my own trail. And I really didn't grow into myself until like 21. So, you know, I was a late bloomer. And at that point, it was really living life the way I chose to. Because even now I make choices that others don't agree with, but works perfectly great for me. And so that's what I would say for me, adulting is owning your you, owning your you-ness and standing in it.
I love that. Owning your you-ness and kind of standing in that is such a powerful image. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. One of the things that I know that you're really great at talking about and helping people kind of understand is resilience. So how did you come to be resilient, or how did you learn so much about resilience?
This is what I call it, is being Sparta kicked by the universe, right? It wasn't something that I I set my mind to, like, yeah, I'm gonna be so fucking resilient. No, it was me having to be in the face of everything else. There was no other choice, right? From joining the military, when I got there, I was like, this shit sucks. and you had to endure it. To a cervical cancer scare, to all these things. And it was just life happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't happening to me. It was happening around me. And that's what I like to tell people, is that life isn't happening to you. Shit is just happening, period. And you're just so happen to be in the sphere of influence when it happens. Right. And so for me, I had a lot of the things I had no other way to be. And so it was either show up or die. And sometimes quite literally. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I needed to show up. And that's what I did. And it's hard. It's resilience is hard. And everybody tells me, well, you're made for this. right? And people who are super resilient get this all the time. It's like, well, you were made for this. And it's like, yeah, rubber bands are made to stretch, but it doesn't mean it needs to be stretched out 100% of the time, right?
Yeah, and like one of the ones I used to get all the time was, you're so strong. I couldn't deal with what you deal with. I couldn't do that. And I'm like, I think you could. I mean, it's that or die. So at some point, and that's the thing, right? So I really believe that adversity brings mastery. If you don't have adversity, you can't master anything because you're not being put in a corner. You don't have to.
Right. Right. And like I said, is the life has a way of giving you a kick in the chest. And you're either going to stand back up or stay down. And I just chose to stand back up. And is actually quite that simple, even though the work is hard.
Yeah.
It's quite simple to just stand back up. Right.
Oh, but okay. So for people who are going through hard stuff and they don't want to, they want someone else. Right. What advice would you give them, or what hope or what message would you choose to share with them?
My thing of it is, you have to maintain your personal power at all times. When I first got ill, I have what they call functional neurological disorder, which means I could present with any neurological issue for whatever reason that they can't pinpoint. So sometimes it looks like MS, sometimes it looks like epilepsy, sometimes it looks like Parkinson's, and I kind of just, you know, got to shuffle it. When I first got ill, everything was like, I need a diagnosis, this person needs to do this, that person needs to do that, and that person needs to do this, and I'm just going to sit here in this big-ass depression and wait for everybody else to do what they need to do. And what happened was me sitting in big-ass depression for a year. Like yoga pants, showering once a week, fucking depression, right? And it wasn't until I was like, look, the diagnosis really isn't going to change what you're going through.
Yeah.
You have to show up. You have to do this. Your daughter needs you. Your husband needs you. The people around you need you. And this is just your newness. This is just who you are. At this moment, you have to accept. So there's a level of acceptance and a level of personal power. So a lot of times when we refuse to be resilient is because we want to refuse what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
And so we're not accepting what's happening. It's like, nope, not accepting it. I'm not sick, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, you are. Right.
So we give our power away by saying, I didn't choose this. I don't want this to be happening to me. I've got no choice here. I'm the victim. And instantly you're in this place where you're powerless and you're giving your power away. And as soon as you make a choice, which is to live your life, is to show up for you, to decide that you want to be here no matter what, or that you decide you're going to find a way to accept it, that as soon as you do that, you're creating choice. And as soon as you've got choice, then your personal power comes back, right?
Right. And I have a diagnosis, quote unquote, but it's one of those bucket diagnoses that, you know, we don't know what's wrong with you. So just here is this thing. But I still don't have a diagnosis, but I am happier. I am happier and I'm living. And my day-to-day is happier. I'm no longer fixated on the why this is happening to me, right? It's more or less, okay, what can I do in this moment, in this circumstance? But when it first originally happened, and I know this happens for a lot of people who don't want to show up when things happen, is they start to dissect what could I have done differently. And so they're living either in the past or how is this going to work out, what am I going to do, all these other things. So then they're living in the future and they refuse to live in the moment of what is. And seriously, like, that is the key of, and I don't want to be cliche about it, you know, all the woundedness, right? Living in the moment. But a lot of it is what are you right now? Right now. Not, you know, 5 days from now, not a month, not a year, right now. And right now, this is the situation, and you're going to either roll over or stand in it. And I'm not a rollover type of person. I understand that situations could really take you out of your element, and that situation did, because it kind of stripped me of everything. But then when you sit down and you dissect it, we have to say, okay, is it worth moving forward? And the majority of the time, the answer is going to be yes. Right.
And you know, like, if you look at it from another perspective, there's this place of, like, actually living in the moment is hard, right? It's hard for any of us, okay?
Right.
And we agree as a spiritual community, however, where it is, that actually there's a lot to be learned by living in the moment. Like, a cliche is a cliche for a reason. And actually, mm-hmm. when you right. have some kind of illness or disease or, like, something going on in your world, I'm not saying it's a great thing to experience, but it almost, in a way, it forces you into present moment, because all of a sudden it's just about now and now and now. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. And life doesn't stop just because you've refused to accept where you are. Still gonna happen. I still had seizures. I still had tremors. I still had to go to the therapist. I still had to go to occupational therapy. When I was at the height of my depression, my level of acceptance actually caused me to get worse, because I refused to accept what was going on. I'm gonna get better, so I'm just gonna shove through this. You know, that's the army military way, right? It's just run through it, do it anyway. And then what happened was I pushed myself past my limit, which caused me to regress every day until I was suffering from paralysis and not being able to walk. And then it was just like, look, you can't be who you were 2 months ago. That person's gone.
Yeah.
Right. And because it was like, oh, I was just running 10Ks and now I can't walk up the stairs, like literally the next day. Yeah. And it was, okay, fine, great, whatever. We're going to wallow, but what are you going to do about it? And so there's another saying is, never come to someone with pain points without a suggestion on how to fix it. And so we do this to ourselves all the time. We complain, but have zero accountability of how to fix our situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so at what point is it not worth complaining about if you're not willing to do the work to change it?
So what if you are, I really want to unpack this acceptance place, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're in this place of like, okay, well, if I can't complain because I can't bring anything to the table and I can't see a way out of here and I can't see any options, what do you do? Like, how do you shift that block?
Faith.
Mm.
Faith. It's faith in anything, right? It could be faith in you, faith in your higher power. For me, it was faith in the universe, in God. But it could be really faith in anything. Like, you literally have to have something to hold on to.
Yeah.
I had to discover, I use this filter to this day, which is, if I die or end up in the hospital, would this really matter? And on a daily basis, there are things that I would typically, before I got sick, get really mad about, really upset about, that now is just water off a duck's feathers, because that filter that I have is that a lot of what we go through, a lot of what we make monumental and mountainous, isn't really that damn significant in the grand scheme of things.
I work with this incredible guy who teaches resilience, and he teaches resiliency to the ambulance service here in the UK. And mm-hmm. he has this wonderful, like, it's the simplest tool in the whole world. It's a set of numbers from 1 to 100 and a line. And he basically says, if you think about your situation right now, and 1 is, you know, at peace, and 100 is there's bombs dropping out of the sky and everything around you is exploding and, you know, dying, the thing that you're experiencing right now, where is that on a scale of 1 to 100, like realistically? And more often than not, you know, there are some cases where it's stretchy and you end up in the middle somewhere, but it's very rare that you're at 100 or 70, right? But we treat everything like it's 100 straight away.
Right. And we're human. And change is something that triggers our fight or flight.
Yeah.
And that's something that happens to us all. Right. It could be any small change and it will still trigger us.
Yeah.
And I like it happens daily. Any small thing. And mostly when we're not making this a decision, again, when things are happening to us, quote unquote, it's like, oh no, we could really hate the job that we have. But the minute someone else comes in and say, you're fired, you're just like, oh no, sky is falling. But when you sit down, it's like, well, you didn't even like the job, right? And it's just, well, I didn't make the decision to leave. Yeah. And at the core of it is you not having control. And I think when we act out, it's because we don't have control of the situation. So then we can say, okay, how can we regain control? Okay. If we can't control what happens to us, we can control our reactions to what happens to us, how we move through it. And so at our core of resiliency is still maintaining your power and your control. And you may not control the situation. Like, I can't control my body half the time. However, I can control what I do about it. I can control how I treat it. I can control a lot of factors that makes my life a lot easier to maneuver.
I love that. It's so true. And it's you know, it's really great to have that whole spectrum of examples, right? Because, and you're right, inside our body, inside our limbic brain, the difference between, sometimes the difference between, you know, a tremor in your body and your boss firing you, or your boyfriend breaking up on you, with you, and a bomb falling outside, they feel the same in your body. It can feel that scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you for sharing so much of this. I feel like there's been tons of like juicy little nuggets of truth bombs in there for people. Is there anything else that you want to share that's been useful for you on this journey?
Again, is for me, it's having support, seeking support. For me, it ended up being therapy. I went to therapy for a while. Both occupational, physical, and mental therapy. And again, having something to lean on, whether it's a person, whether it is your faith, something that you can pour into that also can pour back into you.
Yeah.
And again, taking it from this is happening to me to this is just happening, and I'm in the sphere of influence. Because I know when I have seizures, I'm like, oh, it's no big deal. But when my husband has to watch me or my mom has to watch me, they feel powerless. Yeah. So it's a big deal to them. Mm. And I didn't understand that until my dog started having seizures.
Mm.
And I wanted to stop them and I couldn't. And then I was like, oh, so this is how my mom and my husband feels. And I didn't understand it until then, because every moment I was like, oh, I have thousands of these, no big deal, right? And they're just, and to this day, they can't see, watch it. They have to walk away. And just last night, he's sitting there, he's like turning his head, and I'm like, we're on like number 2000 right now. Like, you're still not.
Oh, everyone has a thing though, right? You know, I'm covered from head to foot in tattoos and people always think I like needles. I'm like, I look the other way. I cannot look at a needle going into my skin, right? So like, we all have things that we're just like, can't deal with this. I'm not okay.
Right.
Oh, it's funny. Ty, if people want to find out more about you, where is the best place for them to go visit?
TyJohnsonAnderson.com, TyJohnsonAnderson.com.
Fantastic.
Best place. Yes.
Cool. So we'll put all of the links and everything in the show notes so people can come find you. And I wanted to finish today with just a little confession. You can choose. You can choose how big a confession you want to be, but I'll start. I am an adult, but I use my friend's children so that I can go and watch kids movies in the movie theater because I'm not enough of an adult to just own it and go on my own.
So I'm going to say I am an adult. However, I haven't really used my kitchen to cook in almost a year and a half, 2 years.
Wow. Who does the cooking in your house?
My husband does, or we cook, like we get like takeout or something like that, that is healthy and stuff because I'm sick. And that's just one of the things that I'm just like, womp, womp, not doing it. Right?
I love that you've let go of it so stylishly and so gracefully. Oh, this went so quickly today. Thank you so much for joining us, Ty. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I love how gracefully and beautifully you have transitioned through everything that has been in your sphere of influence and your take on resilience.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.